Hello, you're listening to The Reba Show, Homeownership, Hear It from the Experts, live from the Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. My name is Leticia Gallegos. I'm president and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. And my co-host today,
Sal Villalobos.
Thank you, Sal, for being here. We're excited to talk to you today, listeners. Our topic today is making housing decisions. So we're going to go over some information about housing decisions that that you may have made or may want to make, all that information. And then later in the program, so stay tuned, because later in the program, we're going to be talking about housing decisions that you may have to make or address during COVID. Because we're still in the pandemic. Today's July 21 of 2020. And we are smack in the middle of this horrible pandemic. So we want to bring you information that you can use. The information that we're going to be sharing is for possibly new homeowners.
Homeowners, renters.
Yes.
So we're going to be exploring what safe and secure housing means. Mm-hmm. We're going to explain how to estimate your housing affordable payments. Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk about renting versus buying.
Right. And the reason we're bringing this information to you today is because the pandemic has not really made that much of an impact on real estate at this time.
At the moment.
So there are opportunities still for you if you've been preparing and saving for home ownership, that you still have options, because there's still down payment assistance programs. There's still money available to help you with that.
Right. And there's still lenders out there underwriting based on the actual guidelines set forth by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and FHA. Mm-hmm. So case in point, I have a gentleman that called me yesterday telling me that he was told that he didn't have a high enough score or enough in down payment. As a last resort, he called me as a recommendation from a friend. And the reality is he does qualify based on the actual guidelines. It's just not the internal corporate policy of that particular lender or two that he went to visit. So if somebody says you don't qualify, get a second or third opinion, because are they underwriting based on their internal guidelines or the guidelines of the agency itself?
Well, Sal, you bring up a point. Now you're asking people to shop, which we all should,
right?
Should. But how is that going to impact my credit score if I go shopping?
It's not. You do have. It's one of your most important, if not the most important, financial decision you're going to make in your lifetime. That home. So it would be very unfair, as it used to be years ago, that every time you had your credit checked or pulled, whatever term you want to use, it would drop your score between 5 to 7 points. You have 10 people checking your credit, or even 5 people, that's impacts it negatively. But a few years back, I believe it was like 2009, 2008, around that time, they stated
after
that...
After the last housing crisis? Okay.
So what they stated was you have like a 30-day window, and there's debate. They say 30 days, 45 days to shop without your credit score being impacted. I usually tell my clients it's not... you check around, see who can give you the better options. Not every lender has every product. So if there's a product that I can't serve you, you know, shop around. Make an informed decision. You know, we'll go and buy a bike. We'll do a lot of research. We'll go and buy a TV. We'll do a lot of research, but we don't do the research on the home. We'll comparative shop between, say, a major box store to another major box store, or to a smaller local vendor. But we won't do the same thing when we're going to make that decision and buy a home. So I always tell my clients, look around. I am not afraid for you to shop. Mm-hmm. I want you to make the right decision for yourself.
Right, because it is probably the biggest investment they're going to make, and they want to get the best.
Right. So you have deal. A 30-day window from the first time the first lender obtains a copy of a credit report. So if they pull that credit report on July 10th, you may have up to August 10th of the next month to have your looked around.
Okay. So we're going to be talking about purchasing, but we're also going to be talking about renting. So stay tuned. If you want to be part of the conversation, if you have questions, please call us. We welcome your questions. The number to call is 214-431-5032. And we'll be happy to address your questions. So we are going to get started. And so when we're talking about making housing decisions, Sal, we have to ask ourselves, what do I need and what do I want?
Right.
Because your first home is probably not going to be your forever home. If you're renting and you're ready to move on, then you just want to get away from the throwing the money away in a rental, right? And
right.
And you may not be ready to go for your forever home, your dream home. But those are the kinds of decisions that you have to make.
Well, you need to make a decision, too. I mean, your forever home, it's like anything in life. When you're riding a bike, the more experienced you are, the faster, the more... The faster, the nicer the bike, you're going to spend money. But if you're starting out, you're going to have some falls. You want to make sure, because there's maintenance. It's not just making the mortgage payment. There's maintenance. Mm-hmm. There is upkeep.
We'll talk about all of that. Absolutely. So let's start off with the neighborhood.
Yes.
Okay. So that's very important. Anybody that is looking to move, and especially to purchase, wants to live in a good neighborhood. So what do we look for when we're looking at a neighborhood, Sal?
I would say schools. Schools are important mm-hmm. because if you have children, you want to be able to have your kids maybe in walking distance from that school.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to make sure that school has a good rating for mathematics, reading, science, mm-hmm. whatever your kids are especially interested in. That they have extracurricular activities or mm-hmm. some source of clubs.
Right, so good schools is important. The safety of the neighborhood is important.
Yes.
Low crime, is it well lit?
Right.
That's all important. Affordable cost of living, are you going to be able to afford it? Diversity in the neighborhood in terms of cultures, ethnicities,
right.
ages, all that is important. Close to healthcare providers. If you're an older purchaser that you need to be close to a hospital, things like that, or someone with disabilities.
Right.
Right.
Public transportation.
Yeah.
If it's available.
Yeah. Access to parking. if you're purchasing a home, you should have it like a driveway or something.
Right. Recreational parks.
Uh huh.
You know, 'cause you want to go out and take a walk. You don't just want to buy your home and stay in your home. You want to be healthy, go run or do something, play
Absolutely.
Basketball. Or go rollerblading and.
and no, we don't want to break our hand like you did. All right, so neighborhood is important. What else is important? Space.
Space is definitely important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your family's growing, you definitely mm-hmm. need more space. You don't want to have three kids in a bedroom. It just doesn't make sense. Sometimes you have to, but it's just too cramped of a space for three kids to be in there. You want to live harmonious, doing so, having the space. Everybody has their own room to go to.
Yeah, and everyone has their wish list, and that's one thing that I do recommend as a realtor when you start shopping for a home, is to make a list of what's important to you. And one of the things that was important to me is not so much. A lot in too much about the house. I wanted a big kitchen, so that was what I was focused on, and I wanted a big backyard. So those are, you make your wish list and kind of stick with it because you know what you want.
Right.
And if that house, we don't want you to settle. So space is important. Living room, dining room, a family room.
Right. The number of bathrooms. If you have five people, one bathroom is not going to cut it, especially on going to school and work at the same time.
Yeah. And again, we go back to what you can afford, and it's not your forever home. So that you could take all that into consideration. The yard is important, whether you want a garage or not. Wide hallways, if you have someone in a wheelchair or someone with disabilities, you look at that kind of thing. All right. So
do work from home.
Yeah.
You need that.
You need that extra space for an office space.
Especially now. And that's whether you own or you rent, you need that space. And right now, many homeowners, many renters are now contemplating either moving up, upgrading, or moving down to a smaller home or buying.
Exactly. All right. So that's great information so far. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about housing needs. So we're going to talk about renting versus buying when we come back from the break. So stay tuned.
I want to follow where she goes. I think about her and she knows it. I wanna let it take control. Cause every time that she gets closer, she pulls me in enough to keep me guessing. And maybe I should stop and start confessing. I've been shaking, I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation. Manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. She says that she's never afraid. Just picture everybody naked. She really doesn't like to wait. Not really into hesitation. Pulls me in enough to keep me guessing. Oh, and maybe I should stop and start confessing. Shaking, I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation. Manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. And we took it way too far. I know we'd be alright. I know we would be alright if you were by my side. And we stumbled in the dark. I know we'd be alright. I know we would be alright. Cause if we lost our minds and we took it way too far, I know we'd be alright. I know we would be alright if you were by my side. And we stumbled in the dark. I know we'd be alright. We would be alright. Oh, I've been shaking. I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation. Manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back.
Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Hello, you're listening to The Reba Show, Homeownership, Hear It From the Experts, live from Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. This is Leticia Gallegos. I'm president and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. Thank you all for being here. Co-hosting with me today
is Salvia Lobos. Welcome back.
So we are talking today about making your housing decisions. If you'd like to join the conversation with your questions, please call us. We'd love for you to ask us questions. The number is 214-431-5032. So Sal, let's talk about, should I rent or should I buy? That sounds like we could make it into a song, right?
Should I go or should I stay?
Okay. Yeah, should I go ahead? Should
go and buy.
Should I go rent or should I go buy?
Right.
All right, so that's a really important question for your listener, because if, you know, we all don't like the idea of making the landlord rich, right?
Right. Unless you're the landlord.
Unless you're the landlord.
Right.
But we have to look out for ourselves, and we seek out information. And that's why this show exists, because we are here to inform you. The name of our show is Home Ownership, Hear It From the Experts.
Right.
Today we don't have a guest speaker, but
we are experts.
But we are experts in our fields. Many, many years working in the real estate industry. So we bring you, but we're volunteers when it comes to the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. We're 100% volunteers, and we're here to share the information with you.
Right.
So what I was saying is no one likes to, quote, throw money away in
right.
rental, but sometimes we have to
as
a stepping stone, but we should, and I tell you, listener, you should always reach and desire to have your own place.
Right. Whether it's a single family home, a condominium, a multifamily, you can look at different options.
Exactly. And so I just talked to someone called me this week, or actually it's been 2 weeks, and she said, I need you to help me find a rental property. And so it touched my heart because I said, sure. And she says, I've given my 2 month notice, and I want to you to help me find a rental place. I said, okay. So the more I talked to her, I realized she didn't even, not for 1 second, even think of applying to see if she qualified to purchase. And so the more I talked to her, and just this morning I talked with her again, she says, I am focused. I am focused on purchasing now.
That's great.
And so she's made application for a mortgage. We don't know if she qualifies, but she says, I am focused. You have made me realize, and I'm focused on purchasing. So if I have to put my stuff in storage and live with my brother until I'm ready, she says, I'm willing to do that. Because it had not even entered her mind that she was capable, and she was and she had that opportunity. So things like stories like that, listeners, we hear every day, and we want to hear from you also. So let's talk about this, Sal. So how long do you think that you may be staying in the area is one of the questions you ask yourself, right?
Right.
When you're deciding whether you should rent or you should buy. What's another question we would ask ourselves? So.
Well, I mean, do I want to? Just like in home, when you're buying a home, you should look at it the same way in renting. Is don't overextend yourself just because you want to live in a certain neighborhood with all the amenities that you want, and you want to have a pool and a workout area, and you know all the bells and whistles that you can get in a rental. You're paying for it. In some cases, you're paying much more than it would cost to pay on a monthly mortgage payment. So if you're seriously considering buying a house or a home, better yet, in the next 2 to 3 years, I would say maybe don't go for that, you know, the apartment with or apartment complex with all the bells and whistles. Cut back, save $200 or $300 a month that you're going to allocate for the purchase of a home. Your down payment in mm-hmm. 1 year, if it's $200, you're talking $2,400. In 2 years, that's $4,800 that you can have saved up over and above your normal savings mm-hmm. For that purchase of a home. Not that you may use all of it, or you may use all of it, but it's an investment in your own future.
Exactly. So homeownership comes with some responsibilities. So you have to think about, do you enjoy home maintenance? Or do you want nothing to do with a lawnmower, that kind of thing also? And do you have, like you mentioned, do you have money available, you know, to cover additional expenses as well?
And case in point, didn't interrupt, bought my first rental property, and we closed on a Tuesday. On a Friday night, the tenant's calling me that the furnace went out. Well, at 12 o'clock, you got to get a furnace. You got to have, and it's wintertime, you have to get a tech to go out there. What something that might have cost me $300 cost $1,000 to get repaired. If I wasn't prepared, that would have put my tenants in a bad situation. So things can come up, and saving that money is crucial.
Yeah, so when you're purchasing, you got to remember that you can't anymore call the landlord to come fix it. So it's an expense for you.
And
so
don't call your dad either.
So for the same thing goes with purchasing. Do you have the money for down payment or in closing costs? Because there's down payment and then there's closing costs. There are two set of costs that are involved in purchasing. Another thing is, how is your credit? For renting, your credit scores and credit reports can affect if you can rent also.
Correct.
But if you can rent, you're depending on the landlord, your credit scores may be good enough to purchase it also.
Right. If you're using a management company, if you're working with a private entity, homeowner that is renting, or property owner that is renting a unit to you, then don't pay the cash. Have 12 months worth of canceled checks within the first 5 days of that payment that's due, preferably on the payment on the due date, because you need to establish a housing payment. In some cases, that you may be limited on credit, but if you don't have a housing payment, that this is a nice way. It doesn't report on your credit. This is a nice way to offset that. Underwriters like to see that you've been able to maintain a housing payment close to or near, very near, of what your mortgage payment would be. And what better way to document than if it isn't on your credit report, by canceled checks. Most people don't realize that until they actually are looking to buy. So if you can get 6 to 12 months worth of canceled checks, that's what I would recommend.
And all this, your lender, your mortgage originator will give you the guidelines and the list of what they need. So you mentioned, when we talked about credit, you mentioned credit report. And we want to tell you, listener, that if you, and that's, I keep going back to my story about this young lady, because she had never checked her credit report. So I said, how long has it been since you've checked your credit report? Well, I don't know, but when I was in my 20s, I think she's in her early 40s, and she says, when I was in my 20s, you know, I did, you know, have some bad credit or whatever. And I'm saying, but have you checked it recently?
Right.
We think of errors that we made with our credit back 10, 20 years ago that may still be affecting our credit. And is that true, Sal? Is that so? No. Because after 7 years, it's very possible that you have a break.
You have a break, but right. But I mean, if it's less than the 7 years, you want to make sure that you don't. It's not going to go away. You need to address it face on. Sometimes there's solutions that you're not even aware of that may help you. Instead of waiting to 7 years, you may be able to get something done in 3 years. I'm working with a gentleman that has a VA loan, similar situation. He didn't want to buy because of something that happened 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. We looked at his credit. I'm like, worst case scenario is you learned what you can't do. Best case scenario is you learn what you can do. And there's a solution for him. He needs to talk to the appropriate professional that's going to be able to help them clear up some of those issues.
All right. So I guess the point is that you need to know what is on your credit report before you know what decisions you can make when it comes to housing. And you, listener, can get a free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. It is free. You All you have to go, they ask you some information. And one thing to remember is that they'll ask you questions that you're saying, wait a minute, that's not me. They are trick questions,
right.
But they want to make sure you're the correct person that is trying to pull the report. So it's annualcreditreport.com, or you can call toll free at 1-877-322-5228.
Now with the annualcreditreport.com, you need to make sure that they're not going to give you the credit scores. If you want the credit scores, you do have to request those separately, and there is a cost to get those. You want to get a copy of all three repositories: TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian.
Okay. All right. So, do you have other debt? That's another question. Should I rent or should I buy? So, if you're renting, the more debt you have, the less money you have available to cover your rent. So, if you're renting, you want to keep your debt down. If you're looking to buy, the more debt you have, the less money you have available to cover housing costs, and the less money you may have to be able to borrow for a mortgage. So, debt is something that you really want to get under control before you go into debt with a mortgage, because you may not qualify.
And keep in mind that because you make, say, for every $1,000, they're not going to count $1,000 to qualify. They're going to count a portion of that, $430 or $500 from every $1,000 that you make that is allowed towards debt. So there's a lot of clients that come up and say because they make $2,000 a month, they believe that their payment can be up to $2,000. That's not the case. Their maximum debt can be anywhere between 43% of what they make gross or 50%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another thing is, are you comfortable with more of your income going to overall cost of housing? When you purchase a home, you have that responsibility. So if you're renting, if you do not pay for housing currently and you decide to rent, you will have increased costs such as utilities,
right,
and that are not covered by your rent, other fees, and renter's insurance. If you're buying when you own your home, expenses you may have to pay include gas, electricity, water,
real estate taxes,
Garbage, insurance, property taxes,
right.
Exactly, and an HOA, a homeowners association, if you purchase within the area that has one. So these costs are in addition to your monthly housing
right.
payment.
There's also flood insurance. If you're buying an area that is designated a flood zone, that's mm-hmm. an additional insurance. So when you are buying a home, you want to make sure that the property you're buying is or is not in a flood zone.
Yes, and your realtor can help you with that, because that's real important. That is an additional cost that you want to avoid and stay away from an area that's designated in the flood zone. Okay, so we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about buying. So if you decide to buy, we're going to explore options for buying. So stay tuned, and we'll be back after the break.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, lock the way we rock it. So don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes, nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When we move, well, you already know. So just imagine. When you dance, 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 feel good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, 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 come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, 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 and ain't nobody leaving soon. So keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance.
magical. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it, so don't stop, stop.
Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Into The Reba Show, homeownership, hear it from the experts, live from Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas. My name's Leticia Gallegos. Co-hosting with me today
is Salvador Villalobos.
Thank you, Sal, for being here. And we are talking about making housing decisions. If you've just tuned in, we'd love for you to join us. If you want to join the conversation, our number is 214-431-5032. We've been talking about the housing decisions that you sometimes need to make. One of them is, do I rent or do I buy? And so we're going to be talking, continue our conversation with buying. If you decide to buy, then let's explore options for buying. Okay, mm-hmm. So what are some of the buying options, Sal, that we have?
You have a single family home, which can be also considered a condo, where a condo is part of a larger complex. You own a portion of that, every brick, let's say, because you are in an association. Then you have a townhome that has, in some cases, another association, but you own your side of the build. Sometimes they're like row houses, sometimes they're individual homes. It's just the way that the developer categorized that property. You can have a single family home that can be a condominium. You can have
I know that. Yeah, okay. We're getting deep.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about single family first.
Okay.
So what is it? So a single family house is a standalone home on a piece of property that you own.
That's right.
Because you own the house and you own the land.
The land, right.
Okay.
So
a townhouse is built side by side
or
with other homes.
Right.
And you may share one or two walls with other townhouses.
Right.
most common in urban neighborhoods.
Right.
Right. Okay. So.
And you don't own the land on those.
Correct. So what do we watch out for when we're talking about that buying option? We have to watch out for additional costs, right? That may include
association dues, because you are partly responsible for the maintenance, for the insurance. Now, if you have a clubhouse, if you have a play area, if you have a pool, then those are additional your association dues. Instead of being 100, maybe 350, because now you have additional upkeep. If you have a gate person, a guard at your subdivision, mm-hmm. allowing you in, you have to pay them as well.
Okay. So another buying option is a condominium. Mm-hmm. So what is a condominium? So a condominium is a part of a larger property.
Right.
You own a unit. The condominium association owns the building and the grounds.
Right.
Okay. And you're a member of the condominium association. That's how a condo works.
Right.
So all you own
is the walls inside.
From the air. Walls,
yeah. Inside. From the walls inside is your responsibility.
Yeah, your the ownership. Air inside right. of your condo. That's what you own.
And you can't do anything, in most cases, without approval of that association.
Exactly. And that's what we watch out for. We watch out and we understand the rules and regulations right. of the association, right. of the condominium mm-hmm. association.
And in some cases, the association does not own the land. They may be leasing the land. In some areas, they leasehold the land. They're not owners of it. So... And that happens quite a bit where if you're buying in a condominium unit and the lease is going to and that leasehold of the land is going to expire in the next 20 years and you're taking out a 30-year mortgage, the lender's not going to do that because they know that lease will terminate in about 20 years. So typically they want to see 50 years to 100 years left on that lease. Just letting you know.
Sal's the kind of guy, he likes to go deep on the subjects.
People. I've been hit with that a few times.
So listeners, when you hear all that, it's a little deep. But he knows his stuff, that's for sure. He knows his stuff. So Sal, let's talk about a manufactured or mobile mm-hmm. home, because they're out there. They're in rural areas in where we're located right. in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They do exist, but that's different. A manufactured home is different than a modular home.
Right.
So a modular home would be considered something like a single family home.
Right. Built in a factory, in a controlled environment.
Mm-hmm. And then brought to the site. But we don't have communities like that in this area.
Right.
And they're affordable, and there's a... What do you call it? Like a cliche against them, you know? Like
there used to be. There used to be before. Now these modular homes, they've gone and they've seen them. The efficiency, the energy efficiency is mm-hmm. Is fantastic. Sometimes
again, we're talking about modular.
Modular,
homes, not mobile homes.
Right. Modular homes in themselves, in some cases, are built since they're in a controlled environment. Could be built or more sturdier than stick-built homes on a construction site. Now, manufactured home.
A mobile or mobile home.
Right.
Okay.
Now they're considered manufactured. They do have that name mobile home, but it's more manufactured because it's also built in a factory, and it's built on a chassis, such as a mobile home, right?
The home is generally built in a factory.
Factory on
and
a
then
chassis.
Taken to the property.
Right, on a chassis.
Maybe on a metal frame, foundation, or tied down.
Right. So these manufactured homes could only be moved in some cases one time if you want to get financing from Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or FHA. And that one time can be considered from the dealer to the location. They have to be able, they have to remove the tags. They have to be permanently affixed to a foundation. Either in some cases they remove the tags, they lay the chassis onto cement and they cement it down, so it's meant for it not to be moved. If that manufactured home / mobile home is moved more than once, there can be some structural integrity issues. So most of your lenders will not lend on those properties, your Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac FHA programs. But there are other lenders that will assist in buying those property, that type of structure.
All right. Okay, so those are your options when it comes to the housing options that are available. And also you have to consider, you know, what can you afford? You talk to your lender and they will tell you how much you can afford based on your income and your debt,
right,
and so forth. So that's the big question.
And most of those programs can qualify under those affordable home programs, where and even down payment assistance may be available. Again, talk to your lender.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to briefly go over what's next if you decide to rent. So if you decide to rent, there's kind of a checklist, and you need to be careful what you're signing when you sign a rental agreement or a lease.
Right.
Okay, so let's go over, Sal, real quickly, what that is as far as like a little checklist. Okay, so names of the parties to the agreement.
Right.
So who's going to be on the lease? You need to make sure that the correct names are on the lease.
Parent. I mean, if you're you and your spouse, you and your girlfriend, you and your roommate.
Yeah.
Have to be listed on that, mm-hmm, because the lender wants to make sure that you're not going to bring another four or five people living in that same unit. So just because they're your friends or family members doesn't mean that they have the right to stay there more than one or two nights,
okay,
based on the contract.
Right. So I'm going to go over these real quickly,
okay,
Sal, so we can have time to talk about housing options during,
okay,
COVID. So another thing is location and description of the rental. Make sure all that is correct. The rent amount and the due date,
right,
is real important.
And the end date, when your lease terminates.
Yeah, the term of the lease, right, any options to renew, any increases to the rent, maintenance responsibilities, what you're responsible for, limits on modifications, do I paint the wall, can I paint the wall, kind of thing.
And utilities, are utilities included in the rent or do you pay them separately?
Mm-hmm. Notice of termination, do you have to give them a 30-day notice or a 60-day notice? When the landlord can enter the property, all that is on the lease. Don't be surprised, if a landlord, you find the landlord in your property because it probably was in the lease. So rules regarding pets. Those kind, and subleasing is real important to know about. We always recommend that you have renter's insurance if you're renting, because it's the insurance that the landlord has on the building only protects the building,
right,
and himself. Any contents that you have inside are not covered by the landlord's insurance. So you have to protect yourself and,
right,
your
possessions.
My daughter was living on her own and we put renter's insurance on her apartment, and now, don't quote me, it may be maybe more now, but it was only $14 a month.
It's about 25.
About 25,
yeah,
now.
25.
Dating myself.
But
so,
but also it's something similar with condominiums. I want to make that distinction. Just because you're paying insurance in your association doesn't mean that it's covering your possessions, your furniture or your electronics, because your association is only covering the common areas, not from the walls in of your unit. So you,
exactly,
need to get something similar. It's called an HO6 policy. Talk to your homeowner insurance agent.
Right. Okay. So we wanted to leave some time. We're almost out of time, but we wanted to leave some time to talk about your housing options during COVID. Now, we know that some of you may be in a financial crisis during this time. If you're renting, there is moratorium on evictions. If you've been laid off and you can't pay your rent, there is assistance available. And if you're hearing it for the first time, please, please act and make an application. Every city in this Metroplex has programs provided by the government to help with rental assistance. Go to our website. That's HREBAConnect.org. And we have links on our website to the information for those programs. It's an application process, but be patient. There is, you know, they will get back to you. They will. So it's the City of Arlington, City of Fort Worth. And so please, you know, reach out. Don't hesitate to ask for help. And there's a moratorium. I think there's still a moratorium on evictions. I think it was extended. It was going to expire the end of this month.
Right.
I think it was extended to August 30th. But again, always be in the know. You know, when I was young, I always, not always, but a lot of times, if I didn't speak about it, if I didn't think about it, it didn't exist.
Right.
And that is a very naive way of thinking. We are all guilty of that. We are very guilty of, oh, you know, if I don't think about it, you know, if I don't, it's not going to happen. It's going to go away. It's not going to happen to me. You do not want to face eviction because you lost your job, especially during this time of COVID.
Especially since there's available options.
There's available money. There is cash money available for you to reach out. Put your pride aside. There's a lot of prideful people in this world, and that is okay. But when it comes to losing the roof over your head, it's not a matter that you should take lightly. You should seek assistance because it is there for you.
And you're in very good company. There's many people taking advantage of that.
Exactly. And we're taught, so if you're a homeowner, you already own your home, there is assistance also. Sal, you could probably speak more to that about the deferment,
the forbearance. So forbearance, talk to your servicer. Each servicer has a different take on the forbearance, but what that is they're going to allow you not to make a payment on your mortgage, say 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, depending on that servicer. And doesn't mean that they're forgiving that payment. They may be putting it towards the end of the mortgage. So if you have a 30-year mortgage, they're just extending your mortgage by those many payments, or they are going to ask you to pay a portion of that, if not all of that missing payment, at the end of the forbearance. That's why it is important to talk to your individual servicer. Just because your brother, your sister, your parents, your friends have forbearance, not all of them have the same lender that you have or servicer. So it's important that you reach out to your individual servicer to find out what your options are and how they are providing that assistance.
So that word servicer, Sal, may be strange to a lot of people.
Your lender. Okay. Your lender that's on your statement.
Yes.
On
okay.
your, sorry,
you don't
technical.
Have to go Google servicer for me. Their phone number is on your mortgage statement.
Right. Your customer service number.
Exactly. So you contact them and ask. Now, if you can afford, if you did not lose your job and you can afford to make your mortgage payment, please make your mortgage payment. Because forbearance, like Sal was saying, it only extends it. It doesn't forgive it. It's not void and null. You don't have to pay
right.
it. You will have to pay it. And you don't want to put yourself in a position where they're tacking on those missed payments towards your your monthly payment. So all of a sudden you see your mortgage payment go up, and then you're in another bind because it's more than you normally pay.
Or you're looking to buy a house in the next year or two, even though there is legislation saying that it shouldn't impact your scores or your ability to buy. Doesn't mean that the lender cannot put an overlay, an internal corporate policy, over the guideline that if you did have that derogatory, and it is considered a derogatory occurrence or situation, that they may not allow you because you showed a deference in your payments. Mm-hmm. So if you can pay, now if you can't pay, that is your best option. If you can pay, continue to make that mortgage payment.
Yes, because your credit is on the line.
Right.
It all boils down to credit, and you have to keep that in good shape. So we've given you some information on the circumstances that we're in now. The aftermath, the uncertain times that we're in the housing industry specifically, because that's what we specialize in. We don't want to see people losing their homes. Right. We don't want to be there like the last recession.
The Great Recession.
We don't want to see that again. It's going to be very sad for us if we see that again. We as an organization are working towards developing a curriculum for foreclosure prevention. So if you have a home and you've lost your job, reach out to us. Our email is hrebashow@hrebaconnect.org. Email us, tell us your situation. We're looking for some ideas on how we can structure that curriculum, because we want to make sure that you have all the tools that you need to avoid foreclosure.
And I should say it, not only if you lost your job, but if there's a reduction in your in employment of hours that you're that is impacting your ability to pay, also give us a call. Not just if you lost your job.
Exactly. If you're in a situation where you're struggling, in other words. So again, we thank you for listening today. You've been listening to The Reba Show, Homeownership. Hear it from the experts here at live from Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park. My name is Leticia Gallegos. And co-hosting with me
it's
today,
Salvia Lobos.
We've been streaming live on Facebook. You can see a replay of the video on the Reba Show Facebook page and also on our YouTube channel. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Reba Show. So that's what we do. We are here to inform and serve you. We bring you information about home ownership, whether you're preparing to purchase or sustaining the home you have, and also information that will help you become more financially prepared. We hope that you will engage with us here on The Reba Show and become a loyal fan of this, The Reba Show. So please make a note to listen every Tuesday at 2 here at FBRN.us. We thank you for listening. Thank you very much for listening. Reach out to us, like I said, on our email, rebashow@rebaconnect.org. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
See you next week.